there is a magical, musical genie. I guess genies are usually magical. And he tells you, I can make you a master at any instrument. What do you choose?
Oh, gosh. So many choices that it's so hard to pick. I mean, piano is just so versatile that I feel like it's just a... It would not be a bad choice because you can go in so many different directions. But, I don't know. The question made me think of a joke Grandpa Hicks used to talk about with playing the dobro. You know, going in for a surgery, asking the doctor, hey, doc, after this surgery, will I be able to play the dobro?
Can you play the dobro now?
Nope. And so... It's going to be my honor of Grandpa Hicks in this magical genie scenario. I'm going to say the dobro.
The dobro. That is, I was not expecting you to say that. I actually play a lot of instruments. Maybe not a lot. I play guitar and piano and then other things I dabble in. But I think I would pick piano. Just because, like, being a, like, savant in piano is, like, everybody can just look at it and be like, that's so amazing. Where if you're, like, a great tuba player, like, only the tuba guys are really going to be like, wow.
I mean,
he's so
good. You could go saxophone and be in the jazz scene. That would be kind of cool.
That's true, I guess. But I'll just stick with piano because I just feel like I love playing the piano personally. So, anyways, welcome to IndieQ. We're so glad that you have joined us once again. I'm Bradley.
I'm Paul.
And today we are covering the game Crypt of the NecroDancer.
Yes, so NecroDancer, which is a play on Necromancer if you weren't catching that, is another roguelite that we're covering. This one feels a little bit different than a lot of the other
ones. It's a very different roguelite.
In that it is a timing rhythm game where your movements and the movements of all the enemies are in sync with the music of the level. So as the beat goes on, there's a cadence that you kind of...
Yes, you're on a grid, and if... There's like a beat that comes by, your heart is beating, and that's what you're moving to, the rhythm of the beat.
And so you want to move with the beat in order to keep higher combos, to be able to get more gold. You're dungeon crawling, trying to go through the level, bunch of, you know, pretty classic just dungeon creatures, you know, thinking skeletons, bats, zombies, dragons, slimes.
The Minotaur.
Stuff of that, you know, that nature are in the dungeon. You're going around collecting money that as you kill them to be able to buy gear at shops, to get better, you know, better weapons and armor, mm-hmm. to then just delve deeper into each level.
Yes. So each like stage, each level is comprised of multiple different levels in that stage. And as you finish, either you find the exit to that level or the song finishes, you will move to the next level. And after you go through a number of different levels, the fourth level, you will enter a battle against the boss of that. It's different.
There's multiple
time.
Bosses in each stage. End state. And so you fight that boss. And then if you succeed, you unlock the next level. If you fail, you go back to basically the hub world where you're able to... Get some more permanent upgrades. You're able to spend some of the resources that you collected throughout the level carry over.
I would say the two main aspects of your money or things that you can spend is your gold, which you spend on the run. Once you die, the gold goes away. If you had a bunch of excess, that doesn't matter. But you are also collecting diamonds throughout the stage. The diamonds will come with you back to the hub world. And you can use that to purchase those permanent upgrades that you're making.
But if you don't spend every single diamond you have, you lose them all. So it's not like you can save up. But, you know, there's... I think another unique mechanic is there are different NPCs and shopkeepers that are, like, locked up in each level. Where you have to, like, go find them locked in their cage. Go find a key or buy a key from the shopkeeper that's in each level. And rescue them from their cage. Once you rescue them, they open their shop and they're offering more items that you're able to buy or be able to practice against certain bosses.
Right.
So that's like a fun mechanic as you're going, you know, some permanence that develops throughout the game.
Yeah, I do think that the concept of this game to me was completely unique. I've never experienced a game like this. And because I really do enjoy playing music myself, like having the game be centered around that theme of music was really fun. Which is interesting because we've talked multiple times on this podcast how we usually don't pay attention to music in games. So being someone who actually plays a lot of music, it's kind of weird. But in this game, it's so front and center that you have to engage with the music. And I really did enjoy a lot of the music in this game.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if this is actually the case, but I questioned throughout my experience playing this game if the makers of this game were inspired by Guitar Hero or Guitar Rock Hero, Band.
Really?
I feel like there is a lot of similarities in, like, as far as Guitar Hero being, you know, you have your guitar and okay. you have to, you know, your rhythm uh-huh. game of music. The music is a key aspect, and then you have to be hitting these specific buttons on cue as it goes through. And I feel like this is a slight genre swap and then use of a controller instead of, you know, the add-on plastic that they bundled in with all the Guitar Heroes.
Okay, yeah.
Of having to hit your notes, getting your combos up higher to be able to get more stuff. And then the music being such a forefront, you're engaging mechanically. Whereas a lot of games, the music is building ambiance and telling the story. The music is a core part of the gameplay loop. And I just really feel like there's a strong connection between the two, where Guitar Hero is definitely just more all about the music and actually like playing the, almost like playing the music.
Right.
Whereas Crypt of the NecroDancer is like an evolution on that of like, you know, it's, you're moving in DDR almost, like you got to get your arrows the right way and you have to face the right way. Everything's timed with it, the music. Yeah. I just feel like that connection kind of flows through. And there, I'm curious if there is a overlap, if you're good at Guitar Hero, if you will be better at Crypt of the NecroDancer, or it will come more naturally to you because you're hearing like the sub rhythms or just like, because as the music gets more complicated, the further you go, it's less like, you know, super simple thump, 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 thump when you need to move. And you kind of have to hear it through more complicated, you know, orchestral scores of like, you know, the through line, the pulse is there, but it's not as mm-hmm. like the sole focus. Or I feel like the earlier levels of the game is very much like, we're trying to really make it simple of you can follow this beat and right. we hit each note so you know when to move.
Hey, you got a couple of those half in between there. It's funny, I didn't notice that at all. And I think it's probably because music is right around me all the time and I have like click in my ear when I'm playing on stage and stuff like that. And so I guess I didn't even process through that potential like differences as it got more. To me, it was more like, oh, this tempo is quicker. It's much faster. And it makes you have to like make those decisions more quickly because the enemies are moving more quickly. And something that we didn't really mention, I guess you did mention it very briefly, is the fact that, so yes, you are able to move on the beats, and that's the only time that you're able to move, but all of the enemies also have a specific rhythm that they're going to do. So like in the first levels, there are blobs that maybe they move up and then they stay there for one beat and they bump down and they stay there for one beat. And so they go back and forth. But as you are playing the game, yes, you are getting your permanent upgrades more leveled up and things like that because you've died and you spend your diamonds. But also you are learning the way that each enemy is going to work. So you're like, oh, this is a blue slime, it's going to move like this. Oh, this is a yellow slime. Oh, this is a dragon. This is how the dragon works. The first time you encounter the dragon, it just like kills you with fire blast.
Same thing with the Minotaur. It just like charges the crap out of you.
Once you have like have experienced it a couple of different times, you're like, oh, if I stand in front of the Minotaur, it's going to start charging me and it's going to keep charging in that direction until it hits a wall. So you can like run alongside it and then smash it a bunch of times after it like crashes into the wall and like is stunned for a second.
For sure. So it's definitely got that sense of learning the enemy types, learning their movements, and like that mastery sense of like, uh-huh. I know how these people move, and I can masterfully just orchestrate my way around them while feeling pretty awesome when you're just like in time, in flow with the music.
Yep.
Where you just feel like the world is just revolving around you, even though it's the game has trained you into, hey, you're moving with the music. Mm-hmm. But when you get in that groove, it almost feels like, no, the music is being created with my movements. It's not I'm moving to the music. The music is being created because I am moving.
Yeah. I just really loved the whole, the thematics of the game, the way that the that you jump around and move, and I just felt it was very satisfying. To you're mentioning like Guitar Hero, and then you mentioned DDR, Dance Dance Revolution. I feel like it would be kind of fun to play this game on a DDR pad. Because I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it. But like the arrows, it's like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what you'd be doing, moving in those directions. I think you could like probably just plug it in and it would probably work.
That would be very interesting. I'm sure people have modded if it's not just like plug and play, that
right.
People have done it that way. Because this game would be perfect to play with a DDR map.
I just feel like it would be really fun. And I've never played any of the co-op. I know that you can play co-op in this game. Like, having two people on the DDR
maps next to next.
I just feel like that would be really fun. And it's just like a... It's essentially like playing Just Dance, but you have like a goal instead of just like finish and see how...
High score.
I just feel like that could be really fun, like in a party game. Where it's just like, everybody, we're going to play Crypt of the Necro Dancer, and we're going to like just set two people on these dance pads, and they're going to go for it.
That would be pretty great. I think another thing that I really enjoyed... in this game is the fact that there are a bunch of different characters that you can choose, and they each have different play styles.
Mm-hmm.
You have your starting character, which is just plain vanilla. You move, you attack with your sword. But
her name is Cadence.
But then
I didn't realize how clever the names were until later on.
I don't remember all the names, but the one that I liked the best was this Bat Girl.
Okay.
I think part of it I liked her is that she started out with ranged weapon.
Okay.
And for me, that was my favorite weapon type, is one that could hit enemies that were two spaces away. It allowed for a little bit more room for error, mm-hmm. but I also didn't feel like I was cheesing the game. There's also a character you can unlock who like drops. You can drop unlimited bombs, but you can't actually, you know, use a sword or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that play style. There's another... I feel like it was almost added as like an easy mode where it's like every time you kill an enemy, one of their spirits takes that space. And if the spirit bumps into something, the spirit does damage to the guy. So you could like kill a bunch of enemies and just have like 30 spirits moving around you. And you're not actually like after a little ways into the level, you're not actually fighting very much. You're just moving around and hearing way off in the distance enemies die to your big spirit wall. And then there's also a class where you don't actually have to even move with the beat. It's just like, hey, if you want to just kind of move around whatever speed you want.
And when you move, the enemies will move. So you can, like, watch their movements and be like, okay.
I think it's a good way to kind of, if you're not understanding how enemy types are moving and you're getting too caught up on, I have to move on the beat and it's really screwing you up. It's a way that you can give it a test run of experiencing... the game and the enemies and get a better sense.
Right.
Without having to feel like you just can't do it because you're not feeling the beat as well.
Are a lot of those characters available as you start the game?
Most of them. I mean, there's definitely more characters you can unlock as the game goes on.
I know the Bard is the one that you don't have to do it to the beat. You make your own beat as the Bard.
Correct. The Batgirl, as far as I know, is available. The guy who makes the souls... I wish I remember the names of all of the different characters. I'm way more informed. But there are different, more characters that you unlock as you progress in the story for each level. And each character has a different story. As you beat a level, there's a cutscene. It's not really a super deep story, but...
It's a cool little scene.
There's a cutscene about what their purpose is and what they're doing. Cadence, the first girl, like her dad... disappeared in these crypts, and so she's going to try to rescue him, whereas, like, the Batgirl is, like, sensing some deep, dark evil that her clan is bound to destroy, and so it's, like, different reasonings for why they're going
into
the dungeons, which is kind of a cool
aspect.
And then as you beat levels, you unlock more characters, and then you... gives a little bit more replayability if you really latch onto the game. Like, I don't want to try to beat the game all the way through with each character.
Yeah. I didn't mess around with a lot of the other, what I'm going to call side characters. I didn't play it as the Batgirl. I did play as her uncle, who is the one who throws the bombs, just like one time through. But I was more excited about like getting through the main storyline, which was Cadence winning in, I think they're called zones. So zone 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then once you finish zone 4, it's like you have finished her story. And so when you play through all the fourth zone of Cadence, you unlock her mom. And then you can play as her mom all the way through. So I beat it through with all of Cadence, and then her mom's name is Melody. And I beat it all the way through with Melody, all four zones, which then unlocks her grandmother, whose name is Aria. And Aria's thing is, if she gets hit once, she dies. If she ever misses a beat, she dies. So I didn't even play with Aria. I was like reading the description of Aria.
Expert
I was like,
mode.
If you mess up once, you're dead. And it's like, I'm not very good at this game, so this isn't going to work.
Definitely. You have anything else you want to talk about?
I do want to talk a little bit about the equipment. So there are different spots where you can have a different weapon. You could have like a something on your head, on your feet, on your body. You could wear rings, and all these different things are going to like affect the way that your character plays. The one that I would like to talk about a little bit is your weapons. Was there a weapon that you obviously said you enjoyed playing with the ranged weapons, so like the bow type weapons and things?
Yeah, I did really enjoy the spears or like the rapiers that you get extra damage if you hit two spaces away instead of one. I also really enjoyed the bow. It's like a fun aspect of like you have three arrows, you shoot them, and you have to hit the reload button, and just kind of like that inventory management in the midst. I'm not a fan of just the stuff that you have to get really up close and personal, which if you've been listening to our podcast is how I play all of the games that we've been talking about in this genre. So I like to keep my distance. I like to be a little bit more methodical and slow paced and like kind of be aware of my surroundings. I'm curious, does that hold true? Did you like the up close and personal ones?
I like the ones, I think it was more about which one was most effective for me. And the bow, I really enjoy playing with the bow, but the bow is something that you don't come across super often. So it's like more of a specialty thing that you might come across. And when I ever did, it was just like, oh, I want to play with the bow. So like the more basic ones were like the dagger, which just attacks with space right in front of you. And then there was like a wide attack sword that will attack two spaces, like
three spaces, the one right in front of you and two adjacent to that.
And then there was like the long attack sword that attacks two straight forward. And so as you get further into the game, you're unlocking more and more of the weapons. And some of the weapons later on is like the flail, which like hits in like a full circle around you. Instead of just like three in front of you, it's like the two on the side of you as well. And so those were my favorite weapons because they also knock enemies backwards. So it's like you can just like kind of stun lock enemies, especially the more powerful enemies that will like do serious damage to you. You can hit them like standing to the side, hitting them against the wall, and they just get stuck there and you just keep going. And so I liked those things. And then obviously building your character so it has better defense and like is able to do different things is fun. But the equipment, the weapon specifically, I found to be...
What were your thoughts on the sorceries? Did you use them very much? Did you ever find them to be super efficient for you?
When you say sorceries...
There's magic spells that you can cast.
Yeah, so I didn't use magic a ton. There were certain ones that I was more prone to use, like when that would heal half of a heart back. Once I unlocked every single thing in the entire like hub world. All of the items. And some of the items that I really did like were the ones that would like... it would freeze enemies that were standing next to you without you actually having to attack in that direction. And those things where I really enjoyed those, where it's just like I can walk past people, they freeze for a second, so I can like kind of get around them and stuff like that. But I didn't use the spells very often. Did you?
No, I felt like I was very inadequate at using them effectively. And I felt like when I tried to use them, they either wouldn't go the direction I was hoping that they would, or I accidentally pushed a button that I didn't realize triggered the spells, and so my spell was on cooldown, and I couldn't actually use it, so I just ended up, like, too many times of just dying because I was trying to use them. I'm just going to stick basic weaponry, and I don't really care that much about getting more of the spells.
I had a similar experience where I feel like there were multiple times I'm like, I did not push that button, but it just fired something off. And I don't know if that just happens because there's some code in the game if you push certain things in certain ways. Like, it was very confusing because it happened kind of often.
A lot of times it was one I'm not sure if it was fire or ice, where it, like, a laser shot across horizontally across the whole screen.
That was a fire one, yeah.
And a lot of times I would just, like, push left or right, and all of a sudden it would just fire. And I'm like, I didn't mean to do that, and I was saving that for this dragon that was going to charge me, and now I don't have it. It burns me to a crisp, and yeah. I start over.
But anyways, I think we've hit a lot of things. Well, one last thing I do want to hit before we go into the ranking portion. Was there, I utilized the janitor, which is one of the NPCs that you can rescue. And the, what the janitor does is you can refine the items that you're going to find.
You can cull, basically, items you don't want to use.
Did you utilize that at all?
I did not.
Okay, I utilize the crap out of the janitor, where I was just like, I don't want to see daggers. I don't want to see. Oh, you can't delete the dagger because you always start with the dagger as Cadence. But like, I'm deleting like the normal swords. I'm all the weapons that I didn't like. All the different like spells that I was never using. So I made it so that I was only going to interact with the things that I enjoyed playing with, which was to me the point when I like started like really excelling, because I didn't have to. Base my strategy on luck of the draw, what items is going to show up in the shop, or what am I going to find in this treasure chest?
Definitely. So yeah, it's something that I probably would have, I would have gotten further in the game, utilized more. But where I was at in the game, I didn't actually utilize it a ton. So, ranking time. You want to go through our current rankings of the queue?
Yes. Number 1, Hollow Knight. Number 2, Hades. Number 3, Celeste. Number 4, Salt and Sanctuary. Number 5, Dead Cells. Number 6, Into the Breach. Number 7, Tunic. Number 8, Golf Story. And as we're getting to a bigger chunk that we have in our queue, I think it would be helpful if we, like...
Top half, bottom half?
Well, not...
For now?
This, like, maybe a top 5, bottom 5. So okay. We're going to have overlap on Salt and Sanctuary and Dead Cells, depending on which way we go. But either way, you're going to talk about those two. Do you have a gut feeling? Is this a top 5 or a bottom 5 game for you?
Yes. My gut is this is a bottom 5 game.
Okay.
You agree or disagree?
I feel like it's a top 5 game for me. So we are in
difference. I think we are going to have very, very strong disagreements on this game.
That's okay. We'll have to figure out a place to put it on the queue. Let's, because you are in the bottom 5.
I want to... talk a little bit more because just the differences, a little bit more of my experience.
Okay.
I did not enjoy this game. I love the concept. Hearing about this game, I'm like, this game is for me. I knew that Nintendo actually did a licensed sequel to this game of Cadence of Hyrule, where it's all Zelda themed in the same mechanics. And so like I was very excited to try this one and then hopefully move on to the next game where it's going to be more refined in an IP I'm more familiar with stuff I'm more excited about. And I didn't like the music that much. I could not get the combat down. I understand the aspect of it. It was a game where, you know, I'm not opposed to games that are hard. It was a game that I wasn't good at and did not pull me. I did not want to grind to get better. The furthest I ever made it was to the third level.
Zone 3.
I didn't find the boss battles to be super engaging, and it was such a long run to even get to the boss battles. And there's a bunch of just randomness of what boss you would even see, so it wasn't like I felt like I could, I'm just going to go to the practice area and fight that boss over and over again. Because also, in the practice area, unless I was mistaken, there's no way to, like hey, I'm going to practice with this specific weapon. It's just your starting weapon with no upgrades.
You could. If you go over to the left side, you can like pick a weapon and then you take it into the boss battle.
I didn't connect that. It was not clear to me that was something you could do.
It doesn't hold your hand. It just throws you and in. You jump around.
Because I didn't know which boss I was fighting it, I didn't feel like grinding out the boss practices because it's a long, it wasn't a short time to get to the boss if you even made it to the boss, which I did not every single time.
Right.
And a lot of times I would get there with one health, the boss would come, I'd make one wrong move and I'd just die. Like super fast upon seeing the boss. And it was just really frustrating.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I was moving with the beat and I just kept getting, marked down or errors or my thing would get reset, which then meant I didn't have very much gold. So a lot of times I would get to the the merchant in the levels, and there'd be a really, like, the weapon that would make my run enjoyable, and I wouldn't have enough money to buy it, and so then I'd try to go fight throughout the level and end up dying, or I'd go, and then I'd be trying to run back, and the song would end, and I wouldn't be able to get back in time to buy my weapon.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of things over, and the story didn't grip me. I thought it was very vanilla dungeon crawly, stuff I'd seen a million times, and so it wasn't like I was like super interested in the world. The main mechanic, which was the biggest draw that I thought I would like the most, didn't hook me. And I really bounced. I put in a lot more hours in this game than I would have because we're playing it for the queue.
Right.
I wanted to give it a fair shake, you know, because, you know, we had other experiences for games that we bounced off of that when we, you know, persevered through, we found a lot of enjoyment in. And I just, especially the later levels with the more complicated music, a lot of times the beat was not super clear. And I could either, like, focus on when the beat was by looking at the screen
because
it has a display. But if I did that, I wasn't focusing enough on the level and I would die really fast. Or I'd focus on the level and, you know, it just was really frustrating for me. The music had to be constrained to a certain degree to actually fit in with the movement constraints. And I don't know if you felt this way, but I often felt like the music and the setting of the levels didn't always jive super well for me. And that kind of brought me out of the experience a little bit. Like, we're in a dark, dank, creepy cave with zombies and stuff. And the music just did not give me that vibe. I mean, there's times when you were really connecting with the music where you feel, like you said, you had this really cool, like, fun, like, oh yeah, everything's moving with me. But if you get off on that, and you just can't seem to get your way back, it just seemed like this game has some hard, like, not necessarily video game skills, but just like almost like musical and like keeping consistent rhythm, even though I played music, but that's something that I always have struggled with and I have to really put a lot of focus and effort into doing.
Right.
And the amount of focus and effort I have to do that, to be successful at this game, creates it so I can't focus enough on the other things to be successful.
I think that does make sense, just like how all that fits together.
And so for me, I did not have a great experience with this game. And because of that, I can't recommend it to be on the top half of the queue.
That's fine, and I'm okay with putting it a little bit lower than maybe I would personally. Like, if I'm just going to throw a dart at the dartboard and be like, where would I put this? Like, it's funny because when you look at the list, like, I probably would put it below Dead Cells, but above Salt and Sanctuary. And Salt and Sanctuary is above Dead Cells on our list. And so
I would probably put it at the bottom, if not just above Golf Story. I think that's just because I think that the uniqueness of the game is just, it's brilliant. I feel like my hope is that this was a awesome, like, test demo proof of concept that allowed Nintendo to see that this was a great idea.
Uh-huh.
And that Cadence of Hyrule will be scratching the itch and actually meeting with the gameplay that I thought I was going to feel and experience in this game.
Did you almost feel like you got let down?
Oh, for sure. I was very excited when we decided that we were going to put this on the queue. I haven't heard people talk about it. Everyone was saying how just creative and unique and fun it was. And I came in really excited, and I just kept gritting my teeth, pushing through.
And then
my wife at the point was like, why are you playing this? You seem like you're having a terrible time. I'm like, I am just trying to find the fun in this game, and I'm just not there. She's like, I think you just put it down. You can disagree with Brad in the podcast and talk about it. You know that could be your content instead of you just killing yourself every night trying to play this stupid video game.
And it is weird because I definitely had a very, very positive experience with this game. And it is a hard game. There were definitely times where I was like, I'm not good enough to play this game. And, like, a lot of it for me was learning the enemies and then, like, formulating a plan of how I'm going to defeat. Like, to me, when you got to the zone 2 and the dragon starts, like, breathing fire at you, it's just like, how am I ever going to win this? But then you realize, oh, that was very simple, how I need to be the dragon. And then it's just like, oh, I feel good because I can, like, go through this level and I wouldn't be missing a beat ever. I would be like, the coin, it's a multiplier based on, like, which determines how much gold you're going to get. When I was playing the fourth level, I had so much excess gold. I could buy every single thing in the shop, and they were all costing like 150. And I was like, I just have like 600 gold right now, and I'm just going to spend it all. I don't even really like this specific upgrade, but it's better than what I have right now, and I'll buy it because I don't need to save it for the next one because I will have enough money for the next one. And which was very different than the beginning of the game. In the beginning of the game, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel for coins to, like, get the upgrade that you might want. And also, as you increase the difficulty of the zones, you're getting more and more diamonds. Like, you get way more diamonds in the later levels, where it's, like, the maximum number of diamonds you can get on the first zone is, like, 8. If you beat the boss. The first time you beat the boss, you get 8. It's, like, whereas yeah. In the last level, it's, like, I would leave... And I didn't even beat the level, and I had like 24 diamonds that I could spend on anything. So I'm gonna spend it on the janitor and get rid of the dumb equipment that I don't like.
Yeah. And so I didn't see a lot of the game probably because I just was not able to get past that barrier of the skill barrier.
And I think it's okay to not be like, you don't need to bang your head against the game. No. It's like, I don't want to play it anymore.
I agree. So now we have to find where it actually is gonna fall on the queue because I am looking at 8 or 9, and you were looking at what, like 5?
4 or 5 or 6 area. Yes. So I think there's going to have to be some compromise here. And I'm okay with it dropping it's like, it's so hard. So let's talk about, I feel like based on how much I like it, it's okay to bump it above Skull Story. Let's talk about Tunic. I know you are way more on Tunic than I was.
See, I feel like, for me, I'm going to set aside just my personal experience for what I feel like a lot of people could see within this game. I feel like I'm very similar to you in that I would rank it below Tunic, but above Into the Breach. But Tunic is rated below Into the Breach.
Right. So what do we do about this? So let's compare it a little bit to Tunic, and I'm going to give you a reason why I think we should bump it above Tunic.
Okay.
But, so Tunic and Cadence of Hyrule, we were both... You have weapons and you're going about the level to achieve some goal. Tunic's goal is much broader, larger, whereas Crypt of the Necrodancer is much more like zone one, get through all the levels and fight the boss. And it's just like you have a little smattering of story that's thrown in there. I kind of bounced off, and you even share this a little bit, of Tunic's fighting mechanic. I think that was the biggest thing. It was just like, I just don't feel like it's really refined. Whereas in Crypt of the Necrodancer, I very much so like connected with the battle, but you didn't, or the fighting, but you didn't seem to really connect with that.
No, I did not. I think a great comparison between the two is that they both are, you know, dungeon crawl-esque Zelda influenced to the point where, like we talked about, the sequel is actually Zelda-themed for Crypt of the Necrodancer. And they have a special, unique gimmick that twists the game on its head. The unique gimmick for Crypt of the Necrodancer is the rhythm, music-based movement, enemy movement, and how that just, like, really builds the feel. And the unique aspect of Tunic is finding the mysteries of unlocking this in-game manual, in-world game manual.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both brilliant. And it's like, let's take a classic formula, a classic thing that a lot of people know. We'll have this unique twist to really make it stand out amongst, you know, this giant forest of competition.
Right. I just feel
like...
Go ahead.
I love the mystery and the just the unlocking nature of, like, knowledge is the barrier to progression.
In Tunic.
Whereas the musical skilled, you know, is kind of, you know, going to be your progression marker. Well, also, I mean, there's a degree of understanding the boss, or not the, sorry, the boss, the, just the character's movements for the different enemy types.
Right.
I just know from my personal playstyle that Tunic gimmick does not necessarily sound as cool on paper, but it hit me stronger. But I think that I would give that Crypt of the Necrodancer has a flashier, easier to talk about gimmick that I think is going to hit home with a lot wider audience. And I think there's a lot of people who are more musically inclined who aren't as deep in video games that could be really good at this game. Whereas if they're playing a game like Tunic, that combat would bounce right off. They wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't be good at it. They wouldn't have the patience and time to get good at that combat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because it is so connected to the music, I feel like there's a wide swath of people who would want to dabble in video games.
For this game.
For this game would pull them in. So in my personal list, Tunic is way higher than this game. But I can concede that because of that, I can rank it above it. And I think for me, that's the biggest, best comparison between the two. And because, like I said earlier, I would rank it above
Into the Breach.
I don't think we need to really compare. There's not a ton of comparison between the two.
They're both grid-based games. That's exciting. The only two grid-based games on our list so far.
But I feel like, based off what you were saying earlier, that slot right there in between Dead Cells and Into the Breach is a pretty cozy compromise between our two experiences.
I'm very happy with that being where... It seemed like we were discussing it being number 6 or number 8. Because if it was going to pass Tunic, it was going to pass Into the Breach in your mind. And yes. I already had it above Into the Breach in my idea. So I feel like that is a nice cozy little spot. Number 6 on the queue is Crypt of the Necrodancer. So glad that you joined us. We'll see you next week.